Hello and welcome to the first half of the Bloomington Pantograph on Monday, November 27th. This is Susan Over. We will begin today's reading with Council to Return to Brick Streets, Bloomington. Alderman Amelia Baragas is urging her City Council peers not to delay any longer in preserving the city's few remaining brick streets. "It is now or never," said Baragas, who represents Ward 4, quote, "We have not had any plan for how to preserve this resource in our community. Because of that, the resource has been allowed to deteriorate over time," end quote. The council is expected to vote on the city's revised Brick Streets Master Plan when it meets at 7 p.m. tonight at City Hall. The city has about 320 miles of streets. It once had 41 miles of brick streets, but now only 3.5 miles remain. Some brick streets have been lost since the 2009 plan was developed, but never adopted. Brick streets, quote, "are part of our historic past. Because of that, they are part of what makes Bloomington unique," said Baragas. "They are part of what makes Bloomington a great place to live," end quote. But the cost to restore and repair those brick streets is significantly more than a typical one. The upside is a brick street's life expectancy is 100 to 150 years compared to an asphalt street's expected lifespan of 30 years. That vote will come as the council discussed recently cutting some city programs because of a projected deficit of about $3 million. Next year, that could grow to $8.5 million by 2022 if revenue does not increase and the budget is not trimmed. Using some of that money earmarked for annual street resurfacing projects to preserve brick streets, no new source of revenue would be needed to fund that work, said Baragas. Street resurfacing and sidewalk projects are funded annually with $2.4 million the city receives from the 4 cent per gallon motor fuel tax and $2.4 million from added sales tax revenue. The city recently raised the sales tax by 1 cent per dollar and designated a fourth of that money for streets and infrastructure. That plan proposes reconstruction of 10 blocks of brick streets and patching 20 more over 10 years, beginning with those in the worst condition. The Public Works Department initially proposed $400,000 each year for reconstruction costs and $100,000 per year for patching. But after cost estimates totaling $839,000, were provided for the first Brick Street project, Monroe, between Clinton and Robinson, the city staff revised upward the plan's total estimated cost over 10 years, from $5 million to about $7.4 million, said Public Works Director Jim Karch. In other action, the council will also consider approving a funding agreement for the Small Business Development Center between the city, the town of Normal, Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council, and Illinois Wesleyan University. The center, located on the IWU campus, opened in March to help in starting and/or developing new small businesses in the community. Its primary funding is $80,000 in an annual federal funding amount from the U.S. Small Business Administration, which passed through an Illinois Department of Economic Opportunity grant. The council will consider two alternative funding ratios. If Bloomington and Normal split their share of the cost 50-50, each municipality would spend a total of $61,845 over 3 years. Based on a 60-40% split, Bloomington would provide $74,214, while Normal would contribute $49,476. End of article. New recycling mandates possible in 20-year plan. Twin City officials do not want to force anyone to recycle, but they are not prepared to roll it out. Business and landlords could face recycling mandates under the new 20-year McLean County Solid Waste Plan, though officials have other options if they want to exhaust first to help the county get its 80% of waste recycled by 2037. Quote, we know often people are resistant to more regulations. So where we can find solutions to any of these gaps in services without, that would be ideal, but we know in some communities an ordinance has been very effective. End quote, said Michael Brown, executive director at the Ecology Action Center. That EAC developed the new plan with help from the City of Bloomington, Town of Normal, and McLean County governments, all of which will be asked to formally approve it before February. While both the city and town have curbside recycling programs, 80% of Bloomington homes participated as of June, 65% in Normal, which also offers 6 drop-off locations. Officials are aiming to make recycling also common across 3 other categories. The most publicly demanded, Brown said, is more options for multifamily residential recycling. Quote, those drop-offs are something, but if you're an apartment dweller taking public transportation, that's not going to work very practically for recycling, said Brown. A few landlords offer recycling. Some of that is the result of grassroots efforts of students and tenants who really wanted it and worked to make it happen, end quote, by Brown. That issue is very prevalent near the ISU campus, where many students live without cars. More than 3,700 students signed a petition last year expressing their support for recycling at off-campus complexes, said Billy Stripiak, president of the ISU College Democrats. Quote, college kids like to drink. Probably most of their garbage cans are filled with beer cans. Really? Said Cassie Metz, an ISU senior who helped create that plan. Knowing climate change is such a terrible thing, understanding the huge process of creating a can, and knowing most of the time they do not get recycled really bothers me, end quote. The challenge, said Brown, is getting recycling bins into multifamily developments in a cost-effective way. To that end, the EAC is working on negotiating joint recycling contracts for buildings that are close to each other, which would save money versus hiring recycling companies separately. That would be like what would happen under an ordinance in Urbana, where multifamily units must offer on-site recycling bins under a 1999 mandate. That city has hired a single contractor to collect all residential recycling, said Environmental Sustainability Manager Scott Tess. McLean County plan calls for a, and that's what it said, for a pilot that would expand to a voluntary program covering all Twin City apartment buildings by 2037. Otherwise, officials would consider an ordinance. That plan's approach is similar for commercial recycling. The category which most likely would encounter an ordinance is also the one with the narrowest focus, construction and demolition materials. Adding a local facility for that kind of waste helped the county reach 40% of waste recycled, and an ordinance does seem like a bit of a quick starter, said Brown. That is because less than 5% of construction and demolition waste was recycled in 2014. Recycling such waste is often cheaper than putting it in a landfill due to local tipping fees and the upcoming closure of the local landfill. And joint negotiation will not help because such waste isn't collected regularly. Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner said he hopes to work for more recycling in 2018. In addition to multifamily and commercial recycling, he hopes to add bins at the city-owned Grossinger Motors Arena downtown. Normal City Manager Mark Peterson said the town is likely to exhaust all other options before considering a recycling ordinance. McLean County Board Member Ryan Scritchlow, a small business owner, stumped for any mention of ordinances to be stripped from that plan. He sits on the board's land use committee, which will host a public hearing on that plan at 3:30 p.m. on December 7th. That is a Tuesday. At the Government Center, 115 East Washington. End of article. Broadview open for the holidays. Broadview Mansion is decorated for the holidays for Emmanuel Bible Foundation's Open House Holiday Celebrations. It will feature music, art, and tours for 2 weeks in December. Those celebrations will feature performances by local music groups from 6 until 6:45 p.m. and 7:30 to 8:15 p.m. with tours of the mansion available from 6:45 till 7:15. Admission is free. There are scheduled dates and performers. December 5th, Windsong Woodwind Quintet. December 6th, Elsie Cadu Pianist. December 7th, Art Circle Art Show. David Horine Pianist. Jeremy Davidson Pianist. December 12th, University High School Madrigal Singers. That is a Sunday. December 13th, ISU Redbird Saxophone. And December 14th, Pat Johnson, Handbell Soloist, Piano Students of Ellen Strait. The Broadview Mansion is located at 1301 South Fell Avenue in Normal. There is a free shuttle service running from IWU Shirk Center, its east parking lot, to the mansion during the open house. You may receive more information at 309-452-6710, 309-452-6710, or email emmanuelbiblefoundation@yahoo.com. End of article. Drowning victim ID'd. A Haworth man whose body was discovered Saturday died in Kickapoo Creek as a result of a drowning, said McLean County Coroner Kathy Davis. Thomas D. Wingett, 53, was pronounced dead at 3 p.m. Saturday. Foul play was not suspected. In a statement released Sunday, toxicology reports are pending and the death remains under investigation by the McLean County Coroner's Office and the McLean County Sheriff's Department. County deputies, Downs Fire Department, and the Hudson Dive Team were called at about 1:36 p.m. on Saturday to that scene in the 20,000 block of Route 150 near Downs. An autopsy was completed on Sunday, Davis said. End of article. Helicopter lands hard near Hudson. First responders were busy yesterday, responding to a variety of crashes and a downed helicopter near Hudson. Both the McLean County and Woodford County Sheriff deputies responded to Kamlara Park near Hudson about 2:45 p.m. for a report of a helicopter which landed hard in a field. Officials said there were no injuries. The pilot apparently did not suffer major injuries. Meanwhile, Kevin Mari, an Illinois State Police person, said several area interstates were experiencing heavy volumes of traffic due to the conclusion of the holiday weekend. There were no reports of serious injuries late Sunday afternoon. End of article. 11 honored at Shoop Luncheon. Emily Shoop, leadership coach and trainer of ShoopTC.com, presented 11 impressive leadership awards to the 4th annual Shoop Shift Leadership Award recipients during a luncheon ceremony November 15th. With today's competitive market, it is no longer about cutting costs to get ahead. It is about being really connected to those with whom and for whom we work. These awards recognize leaders who exemplify great people's skills in 6 critical areas of leadership. Awards and recipients were Tammy Walker, Fort Jesse Imaging Center; Daryl Richards, Caterpillar; Melissa Larson, CPG Printing and Mad Strategy; Lindsay Powell, Growmark Inc.; Mark Sturr, Advanced Rehab and Sports Medicine; Kirsten Moody, State Farm; Nikki Green, Eastview Christian Church; Cassandra Newman, Four Seasons Health Club; Jay Bier, Meadows Mennonite Retirement Community, Joan Maney, Compere Financial, and Laura Furlong, Mark First. A special thanks is given to the sponsors, Learning Alliances Company and Pride staff, and all sponsors for recognizing that by building up more leaders, we can together make the world a better place in which to work. End of article. From yesterday's paper, Sugar Grove accepting Santa letters. Sugar Grove Nature Center will accept letters to Santa for the creatures of Funk's Grove to assist with mail delivery. Children may bring letters from their home or visit the letter writing station in the Nature Center. Nature Center hours are 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Tuesdays through Saturdays. Santa's mailbox is available from dawn to dusk daily through Christmas Eve. The mailbox is along Imagination Grove Trail. To find it from the Nature Center parking lot, follow those signs to the mailbox just over the covered bridge. Letters will not be returned. End of article. Voters can register on Bloomington Normal Bus. Bloomington Normal residents could find voter registration taking place in some unexpected places starting next month. Connect Transit's new community bus will take to the streets starting mid-December and register voters for the March 20th primary election, alongside representatives of the McLean County Clerk's Office and the Bloomington Election Commission. Schedules have not been finalized, but officials hope to bring the bus to locations like Walmart and Western Avenue Community Center for 2 weeks twice a week, making it easier for voters to register. We are wanting to hit people where they are already going to be, quote, rather than them having to come here, said BEC Assistant Director Carrie Robinson. Registration is available at the Bloomington Election Commission and at the County Clerk's offices. They are both located in the Government Center at 115 East Washington in downtown Bloomington. The BEC manages elections in the city of Bloomington. The clerk's office runs them elsewhere in the county, including Normal. Adults eligible to vote will be able to fill out paperwork on the bus or take it home to return later. Connect Transit is retrofitting a retired bus into a vehicle that, like Bloomington Public Library's Bookmobile, brings goods and services to the community, but on a broader scale than books and media. They expect it to cost less than $1,000, accrue few road miles, and last several years. Officials said they have not landed on a catchy name for that project and invite public suggestions. Quote, we have talked about a fresh food market, children's literacy, night on the bus, health clinic, and voter registration, said Jeff Holtke, Connect Transit's marketing manager of possible services on the bus. Officials hope to offer at least information on all those services to people registering to vote. Connect Transit also plans to offer free bus rides on its regular routes for Election Day, both for the primary and the November 6th general election. End of article. Man's body found, no foul play suspected. That was already covered earlier in the reading. Marriage licenses, McLean County. Tyler Dillian Todd and Melissa Jane Roberts, both of Bloomington. John Edward Nicholson and Gail Lynn Weichbeck, both of Bloomington. Chad Michael Letterl and Amy Doreen Dougherty, both of Downs. Jason Paul Brady and Patricia Louisa Tegenkamp, both of Normal. Brian William Caleb Arrowsmith and Hunter Elizabeth Bach of Normal. Paul Wesley Ehrman and Samantha Jo Kern, both of Shenoah. Eric King Collins and Felissa Mae Anderson, both of Bloomington. Charles Jack Kyle, K-A-H-L-E, and Amanda Eliza Beth Frazier, both of Fairbury. Joseph Daniel Coons and Elizabeth Jane Brockhaus, both of Shirley. End of article. STEM jobs often a good fit for those with autism. ISU professor says changes to hiring process needed. Everyone knows the stereotypical IT guy, says Ronnie Gia, associate professor of information technology at ISU. Socially awkward, maybe even seen as aloof or arrogant, but extremely knowledgeable about his field. Not all computer nerds fit that stereotype, but many do, and some of those same traits are found in people on the autism spectrum, he said. Some would say autism is IT's open secret, said Gia. I look around my classes. Maybe one-third of students exhibit autism traits. He had not thought much about it until his own daughter, Liz, was diagnosed with autism at age 3. After that, Gia said, it was all hands on deck, as he and his wife, Heather, dove into learning more about the autism spectrum. Their research shows the so-called STEM field, science, technology, engineering, and math, can be excellent careers for many on the autism spectrum. But employers need to adapt their hiring practices so they do not overlook potentially valuable employees. The formal diagnosis criteria includes two components: pervasive difficulty in social communication and social interaction. That is, avoiding eye contact and not responding to questions, an intense preoccupation with certain subject areas with a desire for set routine. It is referred to as a spectrum because of the wide variation in which people fall on the scale, from those who may be nonverbal and have difficulty caring for themselves to those who are high-functioning. Quote, if you've met one person who has autism, you've met one person with autism. There's a big range, said Kari Sandhaus, Vice President of Adult Services for Autism McLean and Chair of the Autism Friendly Community Campaign. That campaign is aimed at improving awareness and understanding. Accommodations in workplaces and recreation and leisure facilities. Also, not everyone on the autism spectrum has been formally diagnosed. Quote, if we mention that big label, it might scare people, but we all have met them, said Gia, end quote. Because STEM fields are very predictable, systematic, detail-oriented, and rule-based, they often are a good fit for people on that autism spectrum. If children aren't already gravitating towards such careers, parents or guidance counselors can direct those kids to consider the fields. But landing a job can be the next obstacle. That's where research by Gia's wife comes in. Heather Gia is an associate professor of business management and quantitative methods at ISU. Quote, I look at how it affects business. There are a lot of inherent benefits to having an autistic person on as an employee. For example, autistic people see things other people would miss or would more easily dismiss because they want to fit in with what the group thinks. My daughter teaches me things all the time. She shows me different ways to do things. However, a significant hurdle for them to get jobs is the traditional interview process, with its emphasis on social aspects such as having a strong handshake, making eye contact, and engaging in small talk. Heather Gia said the traditional process is almost set up for them to fail, end quote. Alternative methods include having potential employees demonstrate capabilities by giving them a task to do and or having them submit work samples. Internships are another way to identify potential employees by giving them an opportunity to show what they can do, she said. Some people on the autism spectrum have sensory difficulties which need accommodations. These often are something as simple as providing headphones to cover distracting sounds or changing fluorescent lighting which has pulsing vibrations which can be disturbing. Autism has only been a formally recognized diagnosis since 1980. As criteria have broadened and screening has improved, the number of people diagnosed with autism spectrum disorders has increased. 1 in 68 children have been identified with an autism spectrum disorder, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. National and community-based organizations like Autism McLean are helping to raise awareness about autism. Movies and television programs also play a role in raising that awareness. People can relate to what they've seen, such as the character of Sheldon Cooper on a popular sitcom, The Big Bang Theory. Although autism is not mentioned, Sheldon's autistic tendencies are obvious, yet he is successful with a good job and a PhD. A TV series that premiered this season on ABC, The Good Doctor, also features a lead character who is a surgeon and autistic. Heather Gia said Max, a character with autism on the NBC program Parenthood, which ran from 2010 to 2015, provided a good example of how autism impacts families. The children's program Sesame Street added a Muppet with autism earlier this year. Society is tolerant of people who are technologically weak but socially warm and fuzzy, said Ronnie Gia. But the reverse is unfortunately not true. There is still a stigma in many people's minds toward those who are technologically sharp but socially inept. He said society needs to see the value such people bring to the table. End of article. Flick. All over the world, their stake is shaken. If you have been in the heart of Manhattan at the Ed Sullivan Theater, sight of the former Letterman Show, and now Stephen Colbert, next door is a Steak and Shake, birthright of Bloomington's Gus and Edith Belt, who 75 years ago lived along Emerson Street. It was in Edith's kitchen, with Gus also manning a spatula and a lengthwise sliced pickle, where such delicacies as a double steak burger and the chili mac first saw light. We mention this because a friend just returned from a trip to Nice, France, along the French Riviera, where she and her family ate at Steak and Shake. And that was after a friend of theirs was in Rome, where they ate at Steak and Shake. And that was after a reader of this newspaper was in Dubai, near Egypt, and on a cab ride to his hotel, passed a Steak and Shake and sent on a Dubai menu. That was before Michael Monti, formerly of Bloomington, was in Madrid. There was a Steak and Shake, followed by Darlene Demetia of Pontiac, now back from a trip to Spain, where near Barcelona she snapped a photo of the establishment. Gus conceived that slogan too. In sight, it must be right. But do you bet old Gus and Edith never even figured it would be so in sight all over the planet? Avoiding catastrophe. It is just not classic movies like Back to the Future or the old Andy Griffith reruns where a cat gets caught in a tree or culvert or wall, and instead of putting on their boots, the fire department guys get called to rescue boots. At the Bloomington home of Cindy Davis and Mark Garrett the other afternoon, suddenly Cindy heard a faint meow coming from a window well drain pipe and called two agencies who said they couldn't be of much help. At the last moment, in desperation, Cindy called the Bloomington Fire Department. They were wonderful, she said. Within an hour after analyzing that situation and calling an animal control unit to bring a tool to help, one kitty was again free. Another life moment. Have you seen trucks around town with the orange warning signs on the back that which read, "Work truck, do not follow"? Those can cause a dilemma. At this time, we will take a short break and return soon with the second half of the Bloomington Pantograph.